Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about how to follow God's will. And I tell you, there's five teachings in this one album that's entitled How to Follow God's Will. We've already talked about God giving you the desires of your heart. And then we spent two teachings talking about Moses, how he missed God's timing, and then how he got the rod of God in exchange for giving his life over totally to the Lord. And I tell you, this has been powerful teaching. Today, I want to start talking about how to follow the peace of God that rules in your heart. And let me just introduce this by saying that this is one of the most beneficial things that God ever spoke to me. And I use this every day of my life. Really, this is one of the most important things God has spoken to me. And, you know, I have to nearly apologize for saying that, because I say that about everything I teach. This last series about Moses is one of the most important things that God ever showed me. This one on following the peace that's in your heart is one of the most important things. But it's all important. And I only teach real simple, basic things. I don't go into all of the fluff. This is really foundational stuff. And again, I want to emphasize that I've been teaching in a series. This is now the end of my sixth week of teaching on how to find and then how to follow God's will. And everything fits together. And if you've missed any of this previous teaching, please check it out. You can either get the CDs, the DVDs, or you can go to our website. And on the website, we have all of this teaching. And you can get it as free downloads. Or you could go and look at my Orlando 2010 seminar that I held in Orlando, Florida. That's on how to find God's will. And then the 2010 seminar in Atlanta was on how to follow God's will. And then my Chicago seminar in May is out on how to fulfill God's will. And you can watch all of those right there on our website. But you really need to get this in its entirety. But today what I want to do is talk about when the Lord revealed to me about following the peace of God in your heart. And I made one of the most important decisions that I'd ever made. And it was when I was very, very young in the Lord. I got born again when I was 8. But when I was 18 is when I had this relationship with the Lord where God really revealed himself to me. And within a month of me turning my life over to God completely, the Lord led me to make some of the most critical, life-changing decisions that I ever made. And I mean, it literally threw my life in a totally different direction than what it was going prior to that. And God put me on a path that I would have had to backslid against God to keep from following him. I mean, it was just critical. It was major things. And I look back at it and I'm just amazed that I had the guts and the direction of God to make some of these decisions. And I'm going to share with you how it is that the Lord told me to do that. And it's really real simple. Let me just set this up by saying I had this experience with the Lord on March the 23rd, 1968. And that's when the Lord revealed to me Romans 12, 1 and told me I needed to be a living sacrifice. Actually, I saw that December of 67, and for 4 months I'd been praying, God, help me to be a living sacrifice. And then God showed up in this prayer meeting that I was at on a Saturday night, and God knocked on my door and began to show me all of the areas that I was just doing things in myself. I was arrogant. I was trusting in my own righteousness instead of accepting what God had for me. And just like I was teaching on our programs this week, I threw my life down before the Lord, just like Moses did that rod. And I thought it was going to kill me. I thought that this was the end of life as I knew it. But I knew that, man, God was God and I wasn't. And I made a total commitment of my life to the Lord. And God gave me back my life. And I still had to make decisions and do things. But now it wasn't me in control. It was God in control. I was following him. And God began to lead me nearly instantaneously. And if you've listened to some of the past teaching I did on how to find and how to follow God's will, my testimony right here will fit perfectly into those things. Because one of the very first things that happened is when I fell in love with God and made this total commitment of my life to the Lord, one of the very first things that happened was I just lost my desire for a secular education. I was in my first year of college, and I had my life planned out for the next 4 years or so. And yet, when I made this commitment, I just turned. And prior to that, I was thrilled with being in my first year of college. I was enjoying everything about it, and yet I just lost my desire for that. And not only did I not desire to go to college, my desires went the opposite direction. I actually hated the thought of going to college. And so, here's what happened with me. Within just a week or two of me totally selling out and God changed the desires of my heart, I just had zero desire to go get a secular education, get a teaching degree, which is what I was going to work towards, and become some kind of a school teacher. That's what every single person in my family had done. And I lost my desire for that. And so, just based on the fact that I'd lost my desire for it, I told people, I said, you know what, I'm quitting school. I don't think this is God's will for me. I was letting God give me the desires of my heart. That's what I taught on in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so I just lost my desire for school, wanted something I knew totally different, and I announced that I was going to quit school. Well, when that happened, boy, the feathers hit the fan. I guarantee you, I started getting some violent responses. My mother, we were great friends. I was very close with my mother. My dad died when I was 12. My sister was already out of the house. My brother was 4.5 years older than me, and he was kind of out doing his thing. And so my mother and I became very close, and her opinion really mattered to me. And boy, when I said I was going to quit school, she thought that was the worst thing that had ever happened. She didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. She couldn't. It's not that she was mad. She was hurt. She just was heartbroken, like I'm going to ruin my whole life. And I remember that I just determined I was going to take her out to eat and force her to talk to me. So we were sitting at a restaurant, and I just tried to talk, and she wouldn't say anything. Finally, I said, look, you've got to talk to me. And she broke down and started crying. And she says, I'm just so ashamed. She thought that, man, me quitting school was just terrible. And let me put this in its context, that I was getting $350 a month from the government, my dad's Social Security. He died when I was 12, and as long as I stayed in school, I got $350 a month. I was going to lose that if I quit school. And it was during the height of the Vietnam War, and I lost my student deferment if I quit school. And so there was a potential of me getting drafted and sent to Vietnam. And plus, education was just it. Not only in my family, but in the church that I went to. It was a highbrow Baptist church. We were just a few miles from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And when we had somebody come fill our pulpits, what they call it, when you had a guest speaker come in, we had all of the doctors from the seminary come. And they would speak. And so, I mean, education was just it. You just didn't do this. And when I announced that I was going to quit school, I remember that actually one of the leaders in our Baptist church came to me and said, you can't be a Christian and say that God told you to quit school. This is of the devil. And I started having people just tell me that this was of the devil. I got a negative reaction from every family member, all of my friends. There was only two people. My two closest friends, the only people on the planet, I think, that didn't think I lost my mind. And I mean, people started coming and saying, thus saith the Lord, this is the devil. I had people that were very instrumental in my life, leaders in the church, tell me that I was missing God. And so because of this, here's the reason I'm getting to this. I made this decision, or I said that I was going to quit school, just based on the desires that were in my heart. And I was going to follow those, and I was assuming that that was God. And I believe it was. But when I got such negative response, especially from people who were spiritual leaders, people who had been through seminary, and they had gotten all of these degrees, and they were supposed to be professionals, and they knew things about God. Here I was, just a few weeks old as far as my spirituality in the Lord went. And you know what it made me do? It made me back down. And especially one person in particular, my youth director, came to me and said, "Your mother is not in favor of this, and as long as you're living at home, you need to honor your mother." And you know what? That really made sense to me. So I decided to stay in school and keep doing this, even though I had totally lost my desire for it. And so that's where I found myself, just a month or so after this experience I'd had with the Lord. And I mean, I was just flying high in my relationship with God. But then every time I had to go to school, it just really bothered me. And I tried for 2 months, from March until May. I tried to go to class. And I would head that direction every day. But I'd get to witnessing to somebody, talking to them, and then the bell would ring, and I couldn't let them die and go to hell because the bell had rang. And so I'd talk to them, and then by the time I got through ministering to them, the class was over, and I'd miss that class. So I'd go to talk to somebody else, and the next bell would ring. And I wasn't excited about going to class anyway. So anyway, this went on for 2 months. There's a couple of times that I made it into class, and I just hated it. I hadn't got the words to tell you how I felt. I hated all of a sudden the things that I used to love. But because everybody who was spiritually mature, everybody who was in leadership over my life, family, friends, everybody told me that I was missing God, I did things and just went with prevailing wisdom, logic, and I didn't follow my heart. And anyway, this went on and on. And then every night, after I'd get off work, I'd go over to a friend's house and we'd stay up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning studying scriptures. And God was speaking to us. And I came to this scripture. This is in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And it says, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, there's a lot that could be said out of that verse, but just the last little phrase in this, it all of a sudden, I mean, the Holy Spirit took this verse and just burned it into my heart, and I realized that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This was the first time I'd ever realized that. I realized that, you know, of course, adultery was sin, that going out and getting drunk was sin, murdering somebody was sin. And then a lot of things that you do in your thought life and things, I understood that that was sin. But to think that if you aren't in faith, that's sin, that had never crossed my mind. And when I read that, I remember God just spoke to me and He says, "You aren't in faith concerning being in school. Either you need to get in faith and stay in school if you believe that's what I want you to do, or you need to get out of school, but you are in indecision. You aren't doing what's in your heart, and so that's sin for you." Now, that's a powerful statement. And you know what? There's some people watching this program right now that if you will allow the Holy Spirit will tell you the same thing. There are some of you that believe you should be doing something. God has revealed His will to you. He's pointed you in a direction. And just because it's not easy, it's not convenient, maybe your spouse, maybe your parents, maybe your kids, maybe your fellow workers, or who knows what the situation is, something has convinced you not to do it. And you are not enjoying things. It's not what's in your heart, and yet you're doing it. You know what? That's sin. Sin isn't just adultery, lying, stealing. Sin is when God told you to do something, and if you aren't in faith following God, that's sin. Now, God forgives sin. And I'm not saying that God hates you and is mad at you, but I'm saying it's sin. You're missing the mark. Sin isn't only these quote-unquote cardinal sins. But when you feel that you're supposed to be doing something and you aren't following it, that's sin. And you know what? That was in 1968 that I read this verse for the first time with it just coming alive on the inside of me. And like I said, normally I would stay over at my friend's house till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning praying and studying the Word. But when I saw that, it was like 8 o'clock or something. And I mean, it so convicted me. I told them, I said, "I'm leaving. I'm going home. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to make a decision tonight and tomorrow I am not going to live in sin. Either I'm going to get in school and stay in school because that's what God told me to do, or I'm going to get out of school and face the consequences, whatever they are. But I am not going to be in indecision. Indecision is sin. And boy, when I saw that, I mean, that just, it really impacted me. So, I went home that night and I began to start praying. And I started saying, Father, I just got to know what your will is and I'm going to make a decision. I made a commitment that I was going to get out of sin that day. I would not live in sin another day. And I didn't know how to do it. Because when I thought about doing what was in my heart and quitting school, there were so many consequences. I could be drafted, sent to Vietnam. It could be a life-threatening, limb-threatening deal. I was going to be rejected by people. I would lose income. I would lose the acceptance of everybody who was important to me. And there is just a thousand things, but I didn't feel peace about staying in school. And so I was in turmoil, and I didn't know what the right decision was. And the Lord spoke a number of things to me. One of them, I won't turn over there, but you could turn over to James chapter 3. And it says that the tongue is like a rudder on a ship and that it will turn and you can move this huge ship by a very small rudder on a ship. And the Lord spoke to me and He says, you're in indecision. And that was what really got me going, is that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14:23. And He says, you've got to make a decision. And I was fearful, but God, if I make the wrong decision, and He gave me this illustration, and He says, it's just like the rudder on a boat. If you're sitting still, you can flip a rudder 360 degrees and it won't give any direction to that ship. But He says, if you get it moving, even if you don't go full steam ahead, if you just start moving, then the rudder can give direction. And He says, just make a decision. And even if you make the wrong decision, then I can steer you and you will all of a sudden realize, whoops, this was the wrong decision. You won't feel peace about it. But He says, you've got to make a decision. You got to move before I can steer you. And so based on that, I just made a decision that I am going to get out of sin tonight. I'm going to decide whether God wanted me to stay in college or out of college. And I begin to pray, and it's a long story. A lot of things happen, but one thing that stands out is as I was praying, I came to this verse in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I was seeking to know God's will in this situation. I had to make a decision, and the Lord here says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. I looked the word rule up in the Greek, and the word rule here means to govern or arbitrate. And actually, the root word that this Greek was brought from is the same word that we get umpire from. And you know, when I saw that it says umpire, matter of fact, I think it's the Amplified, some of the translations actually say, let the peace of God umpire in your life. And when I saw that, I could relate to this because this program is being seen all over the world. Some of you aren't familiar with American baseball. But when the pitcher throws the ball, there's an umpire behind the plate, and he has to call that ball either a strike or a ball. He can't just say, well, I'm not sure, let's play it over. No, you've got to make a decision. And you know what? Once he makes a decision, that decision cannot be changed. If he calls it a strike, it doesn't matter if it bounced on the ground and rolled up there. If he called it a strike, it's a strike. Now, he may have people yell at him and complain, but there is no way to overturn the decision of an umpire. Once it's made, it's made. And when I saw this, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. That really inspired me that, you know what, I've just got to make a decision. And just like an umpire, I may not be certain, but I've got to call it one or the other. It can't be neutral. It can't be, well, it wasn't a strike or a ball, let's play it over. No, you've got to make a decision. And when I saw this, it really motivated me. And it said, let the peace of God act like an umpire. In other words, here's the way that the Lord spoke this to me, is that you have to follow the peace that you have in your life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." All of these things are in the born-again spirit constantly. And whether you realize it or not, your spirit is always at peace on the inside. You may feel a lot of turmoil, and you may have fear, and you may have doubt, but that's in your flesh, your outer person, in your mind, in your emotions. But in your born-again heart, there is always love, joy, peace, all of these other things. It's always there. And did you know that love can be imitated and counterfeited? You watch movies today and people will talk about, you know, this is a love story, and yet there's no love to it. It's lust. It's selfish. It's self-gratifying. There is a cheap imitation that the world calls love, and it doesn't even compare with God's kind of love. But nonetheless, there are some people that don't make a distinction between those two, and they get them confused. When it comes to joy, there are some people that think that just being silly and wild is joy. But they don't know the joy of God, that even in the midst of extreme hurt and pain and grief, you can feel joy. Now, there's a lot of people, see, that even though there is a huge difference between God's kind of love and what the world calls love, between God's kind of joy and what the world calls joy, there is a difference, but some people can't see that. There are some people that are deceived. But when it comes to peace, did you know that when it comes to peace, there is not a very good counterfeit for what God gives? I mean, the only way that the world ever has peace. Matter of fact, a person who doesn't truly know the Lord doesn't ever really have peace. The Scripture says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." A person who doesn't know the Lord doesn't have peace. That's the reason they have to go on drugs, they have to drink, they have to constantly be filling their life with something, is because there's just this turmoil that is going on constantly. That's why they can't get still and know that He is God. Psalms 46:10 is because if you get still, this lack of peace in their life begins to go to condemning their lifestyle and showing them there's got to be something more. People that don't know the Lord don't have peace. And even Christians that know the Lord, they don't have a God kind of peace. There's some people that what they call peace is just there isn't any problem at the moment. Their body isn't sick, their marriage isn't bad, their finances are coming in, and so they say, well, everything's peaceful. But there isn't peace on the inside. My point is that, see, I think that you can imitate, there can be a counterfeit love and a counterfeit joy, but to me, from my perspective, man, there is a huge, huge difference. I mean, like a huge chasm between what the world calls peace and the peace that God gives. To me, peace is one of the simplest things to discern, a God kind of peace, to where I've been in the midst of situations where people wanted to kill me, and yet I felt complete peace. And I mean, it just defies logic. The Scripture talks about a peace that passes understanding. And the Lord is saying, let this peace rule in your heart. And I'm out of time today. I'm just getting to the thing that God showed me, and I don't have time to finish it. So please join me again tomorrow on our program. And also listen as our announcer gives you some information about how to get all of these materials on how to follow God's will and the individual teaching on Follow the Peace.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Follow God's Will was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Follow the Peace, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Boston, Massachusetts this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th and in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting September 12th through the 17th. He'll also be in Johnson City, Tennessee September 18th through the 19th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Andrew Womack Ministers Conference October 4th through the 8th, and in Buxton, Derbyshire in England for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference October 18th through the 20th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at AWMI.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control.
Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
Andrew put it so clearly. That's what freed me. The more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature.